RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peake, New York Times bestselling author and founder of the Peake Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio on RadioMD.
Hey, Michelle, I've got a new word for you. When
what?
You're really upset about things,
yes.
And you're sitting in front of your computer, you just want
to never
rant, rave.
To me. Never.
Oh, stop it. Stop. Just stop it right now. Then what you do is you event. That's right. You're eventing.
You go to an event?
No, you're all right. So we're going to have to talk about how you vent on email and what that's all about and how it can make you even angrier, and it's not a good thing. We have Dr. Brad Bushman, who's professor of communication and psychology at The Ohio State University, and he's done an extensive amount of work in this field and has been published in top scientific journals and wrote a wonderful piece. There was a great interview about don't hit send on those angry emails. They just make you angrier in the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Brad Bushman, welcome to Her Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right, so what's eventing? Come on, spill the beans here. What does this mean?
Well, venting means that you express your anger outwardly rather than holding it in. So eventing would be you express your anger outwardly using some electronic device. It could be email or Twitter or Facebook or some other social media. But the underlying process is the same. That is, you're trying to get the anger off your chest, vent it, blow off steam, what have you.
So, Brad, what about vent? You know, when you think about venting, and I think we've all had emails and we've done things that we probably shouldn't have done and then we regret it afterwards. But why has it been shown that it's bad? Because I was always told that I should vent and I should, you know, discuss things when I'm upset, right? I don't hold it in. So why is it bad?
Well, it's like using gasoline to put out a fire. It just feeds the flame. And the way it does that is angry people are usually highly aroused physiologically. Their heart rate increases, their blood pressure increases, and when you vent and express your anger, that's also arousing. So rather than letting the arousal dissipate, it just keeps the arousal levels high, especially if you do it physically, like hit, kick, scream, verbally scream, shout, whatever. It keeps the arousal levels high, but it could also happen electronically as well.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Angry people also tend to ruminate about what it is that made them angry. And when you express your anger, you're just rehearsing what it is that made you angry in the first place. And so it just keeps those angry thoughts active in your mind. And it just feeds the angry feelings as well. So it's...
Well, you're keeping the fight and flight response
propelling it,
whirling
yeah.
away
yes.
on the gerbil wheel there. So, you know, in your work, you talk about ways to reduce this anger in a much better way. So, for instance, if you feel you got the urge to vent out there, then you talk about first the issue of delay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, maybe your grandmother told you about it. And a typical saying is, before you do or say anything, count to 10. Thomas Jefferson said, if you're really angry, you should count to 100 instead. And what that does is it allows the arousal to dissipate, allows you to think more clearly about the consequences of your actions. So that's one effective way to reduce
anger.
So
let's talk about relaxation. That's number two, right?
That's right. That's a little bit more proactive. Where you're intentionally trying to reduce your arousal level, such as by doing yoga or taking deep breaths, listening to calming music, some people light
Excellent.
Candles, whatever, that also gets the arousal levels down.
I love it. Well, there's also another one, and number three is distraction when you're, you know, thinking about something else or just get your mind off it, right? Doesn't that help?
It definitely helps because angry people often ruminate and rehearse what it is that made them angry. And so if you can get your mind off that, you know, work on a crossword puzzle, take a walk, just think about something else, that's much better than ruminating about what made you angry.
So what about incompatible response? That's an interesting one.
Yeah, and that may be the most effective, or at least one of the most effective ways. Humans can't experience two conflicting emotions at the same time. And so the idea is to drive out the anger by inducing an emotion that's incompatible with it. So, for example, pet a puppy, kiss your lover, help somebody in need, watch a comedy, because you can't feel happy and angry at the same time, or empathy and anger at the same time, or humor and anger at the same time. So the idea is to drive out the angry feelings.
Oh, I knew there was a reason why I had a dog. It works every single time. Oh, my gosh. Well, so what about self-distancing? I love that issue of sort of the fly on the wall perspective. So explain that.
We've done some interesting work on that. You know, angry people, anger is an approach motivation. It motivates people to try to solve a problem. So, you know, and it can be very good. Many of the movements in this country stemmed from anger. You know, women were angry they couldn't vote. African Americans were angry that they were enslaved, things like that. And so anger motivates people to approach problems. And so the self-distancing takes the opposite approach, that you should step back and look at the situation as if you were a third person observing it, rather than yourself immersed in it. And
right. No. So last we have. Don't get. This is my favorite. Don't get hangry.
So, that's hangry. Now, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Well, hangry is hungry plus angry, and I didn't come up with the term, but we did the first research to show that it's real. So our brain is about 2% of our body weight. It's about the size of a grapefruit, but it consumes like 20 to 30% of the calories that we ingest. So our brain is a very demanding organ. And the part of our brain just behind our forehead is called the prefrontal cortex. And that part of our brain is in charge of executive functions. And one of those functions is emotion regulation. And the emotion people have the most difficulty regulating, for sure, is anger. And the brain needs fuel to execute these executive functions, and it gets the fuel from the foods we eat. In particular, glucose is the fuel for the brain.
Right.
So
right.
If you get, maybe you've noticed that hungry people are often very cranky and irritable.
Yes.
And can behave.
Yes.
Aggressively. So. They don't have enough fuel. They need to fill up that tank with healthy food. I'm not
okay,
talking about
candy
bars.
Okay, so that means, there you go. That means there's no visits to the 7-Eleven there to be able to do the fill up here. This has just been fantastic. Oh, my God. Okay, Michelle, get out of your car. Come on now. No 7-Eleven visits here.
Oh, and no more mean emails either. Okay.
I know, I'm serious. We've been talking to Dr. Brad Bushman, who's been helping us understand what e-venting is, and that means venting on the email, and why it makes you angry, and why there are so many other wonderful ways to be able to more productively deal with all this. Dr. Bushman, thank you so much for being on Her Radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
There are some great things you can do: delay, relaxation, distraction, and lots more. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Stay well.